This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nastahdih. ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله العظيم من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله تعالى فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه وخليله أدى الأمانة وبلغ الرسالة ونصح للأمة وكشف الغمة وتركنا على المحجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك فعليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين اللهم اجعلنا منهم ومن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر آمين رب العالمين وأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله وقد أمرنا بالحق وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما ثم أما بعد We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and declare His greatness and declare His perfection and declare His oneness. And we ask Him to send His peace and blessings upon His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, His family, His companions, and those that follow until the Day of Judgment. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst them. Allahumma ameen. Dear brothers and sisters, over the last few weeks, we've been talking about this concept of building your legacy and investing in something greater than yourself. And the mention with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what you will see on the Day of Judgment and what will continue to bear you good even after you depart from this world. But at the end of the day, it's about your own personal drive. It's about what attracts you and what appeals to you. It's about what gets you moving. It's about what keeps you up at night. You know, subhanAllah, interestingly enough, almost every person in the world, when they go to sleep, they have stress. They have humum and humum, right? They're constantly overwhelmed and exhausted. When you're going to sleep, what is it that's keeping you up? What is it that's occupying your thoughts? What is it that's making you cry? What is it that's making you sigh and you know, groan and feel a sense of urgency? Is it something of this world or is it something with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How quickly do you respond to a call from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as opposed to a call from the shaitan? And this is something that's very powerful because in essence, we hear what we want to hear and we respond to what we want to respond to. And the quicker that we respond to something, the more that shows that there is already an anticipation and an anxiety towards that thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the very famous ayah that on the Day of Judgment, the speech of shaitan is إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعْدِ الْحَقِّ that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made you a promise. وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ and I made you a promise, but I betrayed that promise. In essence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always in your ear, shaitan is always in the other ear. You're always being called to one direction. And what you incline towards is what you're going to end up going towards in the first place. So it's, you know, as far as how well the shaitan can decorate something, how well the shaitan can make something seem appealing, you know, that's all important and that's all something to be studied in and of itself. But at the end of the day, if you're already set on disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're going to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you're set on finding a way to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will find a way to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala no matter what stands between you and doing that act of obedience. And there's something very special about that. And Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he says that there was once a king that told his sons that I have a general that I love more than you. That my general, I love him more than I love you. And they said, why? They said, you know, we're obedient children. You tell us to do something, we do it. And he wanted to give them an example. He wanted to display why that general would be more beloved to him than his own children. So when he goes out, at one point in the journey, he asks for a glass of water. So the kids automatically go and they get the water for him. At another point in the journey, a little bit further ahead, he simply stops and he looks up and he clears his throat. And before he can even say anything, his general knew to go and get him a glass of water. And he told his kids, "That's why I love him more than you. I didn't even need to tell him, I'm thirsty. I didn't need to tell him, go get me a glass of water." He recognized that this is something that I probably wanted and I inclined towards, and he was paying close attention to me, and he rushed towards it. And that's what Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu is at the end of the day. Sabbaqan li kulli khayr. As Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu describes him, he always is at the front of every opportunity to do a good deed. Before you think of a good deed, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu has not only thought of it, he's already done it and perfected it. Because his heart was always turned towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was always looking for a way to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the beauty of the quality of the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obviously, when you talk about the Sahaba, sometimes it's hard to relate, right? But they were always ready to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ready to leave anything that stood in between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you see the famous incident of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he was walking outside to the masjid. And the Prophet ﷺ says, "Ajlisu," sit down. And he sat down outside. He didn't even come inside the masjid to sit down. Because he heard the Prophet ﷺ say, "Sit down." Khalas, that meant sit down. He heard something from the Messenger ﷺ. They were ready. You know, as-sam'a wa ta'a. We hear and we obey. And so there are two things to be studied here. Number one, how easily you incline towards a good deed. Number two, how easily you incline towards disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How quickly you will make an excuse to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as opposed to how quickly you will make an excuse to not do an act of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, because we obviously start off with the sinful part of that, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he says that when the revelation came down forbidding alcohol, forbidding al-khamr. Now realize these were people that were used to drinking. Okay, drinking was very normal in their culture. They were big drinkers. They used to drink a lot. But subhanAllah, when the ayah was revealed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited alcohol, that he prohibited intoxicants, right? They didn't sit there with their glasses in their hand and say, "Well, I wonder if this is included in khamr, because this is not technically made from grapes. Maybe the alcohol percentage in this drink is not going to be to the extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught. Well, I've already got it in my mouth. Let me just swallow what's already in my mouth. And I've already got the glass in my hand. Let me finish the glass in my hand now. Well, we're already at a gathering. Yahi haram. We can't waste the alcohol that's here in this gathering. Let's drink it first and then we'll apply this prohibition." None of that. None of that. They heard it. And when they heard it, those who had the drinks in their hands, they broke them. You know, they broke the glasses. Those who had alcohol in their mouths spit it out. And in fact, Anas radiallahu anhu says some of the Sahaba started to actually put their fingers down their throat to gag what was already in their system, even though that wasn't required of them. But that's how they were. Right? So nowadays someone comes and says, "Well, you know, marijuana, not necessarily haram, it's not khamr." Right? Khamr is just referring to a drink. It's an intoxicant. Khamr doesn't mean a drink. Khamr is anything that intoxicates, that covers your mind. So I've actually seen a thread from some Muslims that say that, well, if it's not made from grapes, it's okay. If it's not made from grapes, what Allah was referring to that which is made from grapes. And some of you are looking at me, and I feel like you're going to cut me off for the rest of the khutbah. But the point is, no, it doesn't work that way. Right? It's not, you know, you can't say, "Well, now this is halal and that's halal." Khalas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't do it. You don't do it. And at the end of the day, a diseased heart will incline towards disease more easily. And it's important for us to address that hastiness or lack of hastiness towards good, and vice versa when it comes to sin. And subhanAllah, we can apply this to every single aspect of our lives. How quick are you to make an excuse for someone, husn al-dhan, when you hear something bad about someone, or when someone makes a mistake? How quick are you to make an excuse for them, as opposed to how quick are you to make an excuse to attack them? You know, we talk about, and it's not a hadith, the 70 excuses, that you make 70 excuses for your brother. It's a saying of the Salaf though, from the predecessors, that you'll make 70 excuses for your brother. And when you can't make an excuse for your brother, then you'll say to yourself, maybe he has an excuse that I just don't know about. You still make an excuse. There's still a level of husn al-dhan. And subhanAllah, now people, you know, forget about 70 excuses or 50 excuses. Let's talk about one excuse. People will make an excuse to attack. They won't make an excuse to preserve. They'll make an excuse to destroy. When you're sitting in a gathering, how many how quick will you be to say something bad about someone as opposed to saying something good about them? When someone's name comes up, how quick do you incline towards the ghibah and the namimah, the backbiting and the gossip and the slandering and so forth, as opposed to saying something good about that person, praising them, praising some good qualities? That's a direct reflection of you. Your inability to see beauty in people is actually a reflection of ugliness or a lack of beauty within you. A beautiful person only sees beauty. He sees positive things. He sees goodness in people. Right? So when you have an issue and you immediately incline towards the worst possible conclusion, you know, subhanAllah, you get to the masjid and you know, you see something around, and right away you jump, you have all these conspiracy theories right away about this brother this and this brother that and this person that, you know. And this is such a stark difference between us and the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. When the Prophet ﷺ saw someone missing from the masjid, for example, right? A lot of the Sahaba would go to the worst possible outcome. Oh, nafaqa kada, this person is a hypocrite, he stopped coming to the masjid, la hawla wa la quwwata illa, but this person, that. Rasulullah's answer would not be that. The Prophet would say, I wonder what's wrong with that person. Why am I not seeing that person? When he inquired about that person, he inquired with a sense of goodness. It wasn't a bad conclusion. It wasn't a bad thought about that person. He automatically assumed something good, that something must be holding them back. And in fact, he took it a step further. He inquired about them. You know, when he saw that woman missing from cleaning the masjid, he didn't say, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, this woman, she used to clean the masjid, she probably got a job somewhere else now and she can clean someone's, maybe she's cleaning Abu Lahab's house or Abu Jahl's house now and she's getting paid this much money and she no longer cares. He didn't do any of that. The Prophet ﷺ asked. He knew there must be something stopping her. What is it? He assumed the best possible thing about her. SubhanAllah. And what turned out to be the case? She passed away. She died. And the Prophet ﷺ went and he prayed janazah on her. That's a reflection of the beauty of the Prophet ﷺ. That he automatically assumed a good thing rather than a bad thing. When something happens to you on a personal level, how quick are you to question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rather than to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How quick are you to show impatience as opposed to patience? To show ingratitude as opposed to gratitude? Because the Prophet ﷺ taught that as-sabr, true patience is when? And the sadmatul ula, with the first strike. Patience is not that when something happens to you, you say all the ugly things that you can possibly say and then go, but alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. At the end of that all, you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is that? Right? No. At the very beginning, when something happens, you assume good of who? You assume good of Allah. It's husn al-dhan billah. That inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Alhamdulillah. Qadar Allah wa ma shaa fa'al. You know, to Allah we belong, to Allah we return. All praises are due to Him. What He decreed has happened. Alhamdulillah. No complaints. That's true sabr. That you immediately incline towards good as opposed to evil. And this is something that's very, very significant with every individual sin. Every individual sin. As Imam Al-Ghazali, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, but you answer the caller to misguidance when he calls upon you. You know, Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he talks about the process of committing a sin. You know, there's a process there as well. And he says, first, it's a fatra or a khatra. It's a passing thought. Just something that's passing by. And then if you entertain that thought, it becomes fikra, it becomes a settled thought. And once you start allowing the thought to decorate itself, you let the shaitan in your head and you say, come on, explain it to me, tell me how this is great, advertise it, make it beautiful. After that, then eventually, it'll become a niyyah, it will become an intention. And then after you intend to do something evil, the double standard of the human being is that he will make an excuse to commit that sin, but he'll quickly excuse himself from not doing a good deed. You know, when you make an intention to do something good, the first thing that gets in the way, you know what, it's not going to work. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. Actions are but by intention. Inshallah, I'll get the good deed. But when it comes to something evil, what happens? You've intended to commit that sin, you're going to do it. So after the niyyah comes al-azima. You become determined to commit that sin. After you become determined, it becomes amal, it becomes an action. You commit the sin. Then once you do it once, what happens? It becomes aada, it becomes a habit. You've become desensitized to that sin. So no, you know what? At least the first time you approach that sin, there was some hesitation. There was some feeling of discomfort. Right? Subhanallah, that first penny of riba hurts. That first penny of interest hurts. After that, $100,000 in riba doesn't matter anymore. That first moment of saying something bad about your brother, I know I probably shouldn't be saying this. You know, when someone starts off their conversation and says, I know we're not supposed to backbite and talk about people, but once the word but got in there, as in I've already justified it, now let me start, it's da 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 da. You go off. Now you're complete. Now you're not just sharing one piece of information backbiting. It started off backbiting about one thing about the brother. Now you backbited 10 things about the brother. Right? While I'm in this sin, why don't I just continue? And that's even when it comes to the minor sins. Right? And that's why, as Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah ta'ala said, to insist upon a saghira, to insist upon a minor sin, becomes a kabira, becomes a major sin. When you do the same minor sin over and over and over again, no restraint, no restriction, nothing holds you back. You just keep going back to it over and over and over again. You're showing a level of disregard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that disregard is far more offensive than the sin that you're committing. The fact that you don't even hesitate anymore to commit that sin. Right? It's like if a parent tells their child something over and over and over again. It might be something small that they're censoring their child over. But the fact that you're doing it right in front of me and you don't even care anymore offends me far more than what you were doing in the first place. And so when you don't have a hesitation anymore, you just keep on doing it over and over and over again. There's something very offensive about that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the believer. Allah azza wa jalla says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبُصِرُونَ. That verily those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have that consciousness of Allah. They're aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ. You know, shaitan gets a hold of their thoughts. Shaitan starts telling them about something. Shaitan starts guiding them to something. God forbid, sometimes you actually fall and commit the sin once or twice. But the point is, whenever shaitan gets in your head, تذكروا, you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبُصِرُونَ. You know, when you read the ayah, it's as if now they can see. You know, when someone's eyes get big because they just came to a realization, like, wait a minute, of course I'm not going to do that. Of course I won't respond to the call of shaitan. Now subhanallah, you take that, and then you compare it to our laziness in pursuing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pursuing His pleasure. And Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, وَمِنْ أَعْجَبِ الْعَجَبِ عِلْمُكَ أَلَّا بُدَّ لَكَ مِنْ وَأَنَّكَ أَحْوَجُ شَيْءٍ إِلَيْهِ وَأَنْتَ عَنْهُ مُعْرِضُ وَفِيمَا يُبْعِدُكَ عَنْهُ رَاغِبُ. He said, one of the strangest things is that you know that you need Him. You know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely independent of you. You need Him. And you need to do the things to please Him because you do need Him. But at the same time, you're turning away from Him. He doesn't need you, you need Him. But you're turning away from Him and rushing towards the things that would earn His wrath and His anger. Rushing towards the things that would only further distance you from Him. And so when you look at the terminologies that Allah uses in the Qur'an, it's very interesting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I just want you to follow this, those of you that were here from the beginning, follow the pace here. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions pursuit of this world, when He mentions pursuit of this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمْشُوا فِي مَنَاكِبِهَا وَكُلُوا مِنْ رِزْقِهِ وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ. In Surah Al-Mulk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, walk amongst the slopes of this earth, eat of its provision, And to him is the return. To him is the resurrection. Allah mentions walking. And the ulama, they say, because it's not appropriate for a believer to be running after this world. Allah would never use, even though we're told to pursue our livelihood, even though we're told to do the things that we need to do to live a decent life and to make things comfortable for ourselves and our families, but at the same time, Allah would never use the word run, because the believer does not have run and dunya in the same sentence. It's not going to happen. That you don't have that anticipation and anxiety for the matters of this world, but you're setting yourself, you're doing what you have to do, but at the end of the day, your concern is not with this world. You know, that doesn't mean that you come home and, you know, if you're in school, you get a C or you get a D and you say, well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Famshu fi manakibiha, so I was walking to class and that's why I got there 10 minutes late. It doesn't work that way, or I didn't care too much. No. Ihsan is prescribed there as well. Excellence is prescribed there as well. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us the way that we should internally be pursuing this world. فَمْشُوا فِي مَنَاكِبِهَا. You walk on the slopes of this world, you do what you have to do, but at the same time, you do not become attached to it. And the fact of the matter is that many times, we are satisfied with the absolute least in matters relating to this religion and relating to the hereafter, but we will settle for no less than the best when it comes to a worldly matter. Right? When it comes to something that has to do with my dunya, I will not settle for anything less than this. When it comes to matter of deen, then I'll be as mediocre as they come. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, walk. But at the same time, when you are called for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not hold back. And I'm going to mention a charity reference here, and that's why I'm going to say immediately, the qualifier I always give, no fundraiser today, but there is a charity mentioned here as well. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that you're called to spend for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is it that holds a person back from spending for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the Prophet ﷺ, he mentions to us that every single night, two angels come down. And they say, Allahumma a'ti munfiqan khalafa. Oh Allah, give to the one who gave. And the other one says, Allahumma a'ti mumsikan talafa. Oh Allah, hold back from the one who holds back. Destroy the one who holds back. And then Imam Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah makes a very powerful comment here. He says, notice that the angels make dua for and against your worldly affairs. Why would they're not asking Allah to destroy you in the hereafter? No, withhold from that person. Why? Because it was the dunya that held you back from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your thoughts of things of this world that are disposable held you back from giving towards something that would benefit you for eternity. There is something about that attitude of sadaqah as well, that attitude of charity as well, that the Prophet ﷺ said, وَالصَّدَقَةُ burhana. Charity is a proof. It's a proof of your faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about as-salah, when he talks about a jum'ah, what does he say? إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ فَسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. When you are called to the prayer on the day of Friday, rush. Rush to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, sa'a is what Allah describes Fir'aun as doing when Fir'aun was pacing and trying to deal with Musa alayhi salam. It's what Allah describes Abdullah ibn Maktum radiallahu anhu when he comes running to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a sense of urgency. Alimni mimma allamak Allah. Teach me from what Allah taught to you. So you're rushing with a sense of urgency. You're not going slow. You're not dragging your feet. And since we're towards, you know, the end of the khutbah, I'll mention a hadith from Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu in al-Bukhari that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever performs ghusl on the day of Friday and then he goes to Jum'ah, then he is like the one who gave a camel in charity. And whoever goes in the second hour of the day of Jum'ah, so that's the first hour. He said, whoever goes in the second hour is like the one who gave a cow in charity. And whoever goes in the third hour is like the one who gave a ram in charity. And whoever goes in the fourth hour is like the one who gave a chicken in charity. And whoever goes in the fifth hour is like the one who gave an egg in charity. And when the imams come out, the angels are present listening to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they shut their books when the imam comes. There is an opportunity, right? Rasulullah ﷺ tells us that the angels prey upon the people in the first row. There's an opportunity for all of us. That there's a sense of urgency towards as-salah. Hayya ala al-falah. Rush back. Rush to success. Right? When you hear that call, hayya ala al-falah. Rush to success. Are you really convinced that there is success within your prayer? Or do you see prayer as a distraction from your true worldly pursuit of success? Like, let me go get this prayer out of the way so I can get back to making myself successful. Or do you actually view success within that prayer? And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions al-jannah, so when He mentions this world, Allah azza wa jalla says to walk. When He mentions the salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to rush. When Allah mentions paradise, when He mentions al-jannah, Allah says sabiqu aw sari'u, compete, race, like you've got to beat everyone else out. إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ. Rush and run and race and compete with one another over Jannah. That's what you really should be competing over. That's what, you know, when you see someone that's outdoing you and doing the actions of the people of paradise, that's when you should feel a sense of positive envy. Where, you know what, I need to catch up. I'm slacking. I don't have any excuses. Look at that person. I have absolutely no excuses in my life. And you know, subhanAllah, there's something very beautiful about that drive for al-Jannah. Number one, it creates anticipation. Number two, it creates a lifelong drive. Because you don't get it until you leave. You know, Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah ta'ala, he studied and he continued in seeking knowledge until his very old age. Because there's this idea that, you know, you go study for some years and then you become a teacher. But he continued traveling the world, not just as a teacher, but as a student, even into his old age. Right? When he had gray hair and he was tired and losing his health. And he was asked, when are you going to stop studying? And you know what he said? He said, when I find the word that will save me from hellfire. When I find that kalima, that word that's going to save me from hellfire, I'll stop. Otherwise, I've got to keep going. He's racing. Umayr ibn Hammam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umayr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, before the battle of Badr, you know, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, what's in it for us? What are we getting at the end of this? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jannah, paradise. He said, Bakh and Bakh, which is like, whoa. He had dates in his hand. He said, if I live to eat these dates, then I'm a loser. SubhanAllah, if I live long enough to even eat these dates, you mean Jannah's in front of me right now? I'm going to go get Jannah. Right away, the attachment becomes to Jannah. And so you rush and you run and you race towards Jannah. And finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Flee, escape to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. SubhanAllah. The pace changes every time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ups the stakes. When He talks about something more noble, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases your pace as well. Flee to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Run back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you're fleeing, you're naturally running away from something. Flee to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and rush to Him. And do not be deterred from anything that will take you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring us closer to Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us when we pursue things that are not permissible, or we pursue things that take us away from Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us when we are lazy in pursuing that which is pleasing to Him. Allahumma ameen. Aqulu qawli hadha. Wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa lisa'ir al-muslimin. Fastaghfiru innahu wal ghafur rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa la udwana illa ala al-zalimeen, wa al-aqibatu lil-muttaqeen. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala abdika wa rasulika Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathira. Dear brothers and sisters, Al-Imam ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, Laysa al-ajab min abdin yataqarrabu ila sayyidihi wa yuhsinu ilayh, walakin al-ajab min malikin yataqarrabu ila abdihi wa yuhsinu ilayh. He said, it's not unusual to find a slave or someone in a low position trying to get in good with his king or with someone that's above him or of higher authority to try to better his situation. But it's strange when you see the king of all kings calling upon his lowest, subhanAllah, the lowest of servants, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala getting close to him. And that's the beauty of this all, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, you know, will take from you whatever you give to Him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come at you at a faster pace. When you incline towards something good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inclines towards you faster. In Atani Yamshi, Ataytuhu Harwala. When he comes to me walking, I go to him running. And you know, subhanAllah, Allah Azza wa Jalla, he tells us in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, ma lakum idha qila lakum unfiru fi sabilillah, thaqaltum ila al-ard. And this is obviously talking about Tabuk. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, why is it that when you're told to go out for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, suddenly you find yourselves clinging towards the earth? Now obviously that was a call towards a noble battle and a noble struggle, right? But if you look at the Mufassirun, the scholars of tafsir, they say take this ayah and apply it to everything in this world when you're called towards good. When you're called towards Salatul Fajr in the masjid, suddenly your bed becomes so much more comfortable. Suddenly, ثَاقَلْتُمْ إِلَى You know, you actually cling towards your bed, not towards the earth. You cling to your bed all of a sudden. This bed becomes so comfortable. You know, whenever you're called to do something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, suddenly you will make a million excuses. A million excuses between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And say, you know what? My head hurts, so I don't think I'm going to go to the halaqah today. When did you ever say, my head hurts, so I don't think I'm going to go to that wedding tonight? Right? I don't think I'm going to go to that da'wat, that party, the azuma, whatever it is that you want to call it. I'm not going to go to the party tonight. I'm not going to go watch the football game. I got a little bit of a headache. I'm getting a little bit tired. But subhanAllah, you're called to something good and you make excuses. The end message of this khutbah is give your excuses a black eye. Do not let anything come in between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you're called, when you hear of something good to do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't sit there and start crunching things in your head and start analyzing and start doing this and doing that. Just do it when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls you towards it. And when you are called from the shaitan towards anything that's displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't start trying to become a mufti, because shaitan will become a great mufti at those times. Shaitan will give you fatwa after fatwa after fatwa. And he will give you all kinds of dalil and evidences to do something haram. Shut that voice up as soon as you hear it. And that's an attitude change, and that's something that when we have, then we naturally find ourselves inclining towards good. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us a people that always incline towards Him and that rush towards pleasing Him with our health, with our wealth, and with everything that He's enabled us with. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for our shortcomings and forgive us when we turn away from Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst those that are told labbaik and that say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala labbaik. That are told come and we say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, here we come. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا واعف عنا ولا تعذبنا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم اغفر لوالدينا رب ارحمهما كما ربونا صغارا ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين وجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها اللهم أهلك الظالمين بالظالمين وأخرجنا وإخواننا من بينهم سالمين عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمائه يزد لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة